All right, so one of the cool things about this gig, man, is that you get to connect with people all over the country. And so you know people that you don't really know. This is a great dude. I think he spent a good amount of time with me on the phone when I was, like, really not liking life at a certain time of my career in Houston. Like, things were just not bouncing my direction. And he spent a lot of time with me on the phone and one afternoon, and I'm just like, man, what a great dude. It's been awesome to see what's going on in his career. He is now in charge of all sports podcasts for the New York Post in New York City. So my man is doing very, very well for himself. At Jake Brown Radio is where you can follow him on Twitter. Jake Brown joins us right now on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. What's going on, bud? How are you?
Mark, thank you for the kind words, man. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. So it sounds like I'm doing a little bit better than the Jets right now because the Jets all these reporters are down here, Jake, at Clemson's press conferences, and they're zooming in and so on and so forth. And Dabo seems to be amused by this whole thing, and they're telling him that there's nothing else for them to do where they are. They're like, this is what everybody wants to hear or talk about, etc. And just yesterday, and Lonzo, if we have this clip from Trevor Lawrence here, I'd like to play it for Jake, just so we can kind of use this as the basis. It sure sounds, Jake, right here in this clip from Trevor Lawrence, that he's leaving the door open to return, something he wasn't doing 6 weeks ago. Here's Trevor.
Have you thought at all about, is there anything that might make you reconsider? You've been very upfront about this being your final season here. I'm just curious if there's anything that would make you reconsider coming back to Clemson for another year.
I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that, but honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. So just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out. So I'm not sure. That's a tough one, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
So what was 6 weeks ago, this is my last year at Clemson. Now we're hearing the words, I'm not sure. We'll see how it all unfolds, Jake. Lonzo's my producer here. He doesn't believe that has anything to do with the Jets having the first overall pick. I think he's nuts. I think it has everything to do with the Jets having the best chance, 59% as of this interview, to land the first pick. Jake, what say you?
Listen, I mean, the easy move is to agree with you and say, you know, the Jets are dysfunction, they're laughing stock, and yeah, he wouldn't want to play here. But I do think in today's day and age, I don't think it's a big deal. I know everyone's going to run with that, and that's the big story. But with the pandemic and everything going on, I mean, we don't even know what we're having for dinner, what we're doing tomorrow. So let alone, you know, 6 months, 7 months down the road, I can't blame him for leaving all options open and maybe even staying one more year. And even if he doesn't go to the Jets, he's going to go to a bad team nonetheless. I know the Jets, it's dysfunction land, but a lot of that is surrounding a head coach in Adam Gase, who you would expect is gone by the time by the time the season's over. So I don't look too much into it being a Jets thing. I look it more into, you know, let's see what life holds in 6 months. You never know, honestly.
So what is it about the Jets that just has this, that brings with it this reputation of total dysfunction, Jake?
There's no real culture here. This team, you know, they've won one Super Bowl in 1969. Since then, they have not been to one Super Bowl. The entire franchise has never been to a Super Bowl. I mean, that is amazing. In New York City, and it's clearly nothing to do with money. The team has had money. They're in the top market, and they haven't been able to make a Super Bowl, let alone win one since then. I mean, it's been 50 years, and winning, you know, establishes a culture. Look at the Steelers, the Ravens, the Patriots. Those teams win, and they win, and they win. At least they make the playoffs all the time. The Jets do not. Making the playoffs has become a big deal, and it's been a revolving door of head coaches. And now, you know, you brought in a guy who wasn't totally respected by everyone coming in Adam Gase, who came off, you know, we made one playoff appearance with the Dolphins and then did nothing else. Ryan Tannehill leaves and looks like a Hall of Famer in Tennessee. I don't think the head coach decisions have been great. You had a couple of good coaches that, you know, their time came and went, and guys like Herm Edwards and Rex Ryan, and I can't really say that about Todd Bowles because I think he's been better as a defensive coordinator, but guys are coming in and out and in and out and in and out. There hasn't been one coach, one right coach to establish this winning culture and the CEO-like coach. And you can argue maybe they're not out there, but I think it starts with that. It's decisions at the head coaching realm, and it starts from up top with ownership. The GM debacle, firing McCagnan after the draft instead of before, made zero sense. So you're hoping Joe Douglas here, you know, has a lot of respect around the league, could establish some kind of culture and bring in a head coach that he wants, that he handpicks, and uses these draft picks and this capital and the assets and the money they have to try and right the ship. That's the hope starting this offseason after this.
I tell you, I disagree. I think what's changed is the Jets have the first pick, and I think they're the most dysfunctional team in the NFL. And, yeah, there's some bad teams, Jake, but I'll share with you an exercise I do. I call it the championship GPA, all right? And you give, just like you would A, B, C, D, F in grade school, you give a four-point scale, three for a B, two for a C, one for a D, zero for an F. If I do this for the owner, the general manager, the coach, and the quarterback, okay? Owner, F. General manager, Douglas is highly regarded. I'll say B, okay? Coach, F. Quarterback, I feel like it's really unfair to evaluate Sam Darnold, so I'm going to say C-. Average those all together. I got a C- is a 1.8. I got a 3.0, and I got two zeros. The championship GPA of the Jets is a 1.2. And you want to know why Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to go there?
Listen, I think the Jets are – it's a different team moving forward with Joe Douglas. He only had one draft. A lot of these guys have been hurt, haven't really been able to see them. We finally saw Denzel Mims. We're seeing P. Ryan play more now. I think, you know, the Idzik and McCagnan error has really hurt them. And I think having a real head coach will change the mind of Trevor Lawrence. I think if Eric Bieniemy comes in here, him and Lawrence could be great. And I know what you're saying about Darnold, but listen, it's been 3 years. I know the talent's not around it, but, you know, good quarterbacks make players around them better. They make average receivers great. And I think having different coaches has hurt Darnold. Having Gase, this so-called brilliant offensive mind, be nowhere near brilliant has hurt him. But, you know, he's also made a lot of rookie mistakes in his third year. He makes throws. You saw it against the Bills to end the first half Sunday. He makes throws that rookies make, not third-year quarterbacks. He's had injuries. He hasn't been too durable. So I'm a little bit tired of the excuse-making for Darnold. Maybe he wins elsewhere, but the Jets can't think to themselves, if Lawrence does indeed come to them, oh, he might be a champion somewhere else. He might be, but that's because he has a team around him. He's never going to be this Hall of Fame-esque quarterback. He's just not. He's going to be a middle-of-the-road QB who has a chance to win with the right pieces around him. So, I think Lawrence, either way, he's going to go to a bad team. But look at the other teams available, even if the Jets didn't get the first pick. The Giants, Mark, they have Daniel Jones. Jacksonville, are they in much better shape than the Jets? They're not very good, and you know maybe they do believe in Gardner Minshew. Who knows? Atlanta, they have Matt Ryan. Are they going to give up on Matt Ryan? Miami, they have Tua T. Minnesota, maybe, but you know they extend Kirk a few more years. So I'm not sold on there being a lot of places elsewhere where he has the chance to be an immediate starter and make an impact than if he came to the Jets.
So let's talk about the two teams that you cover up there. You think firmly that they move on from Sam Darnold. Would the Giants move on from Daniel Jones?
No, I think the Giants.
Wow,
are
really?
Daniel Jones.
Really? They yeah, would. So if they land the number one pick, they're going to trade the pick?
If they land the number, well, that's a different question. If they land the number one pick, it's hard. They might trade down a few spots, honestly. I don't think they've given up on Daniel Jones, and they're in a different spot because it's 3 years in. Daniel Jones has just finished his first, like, you know, full 16 games. Remember, he didn't start off last year. And he's also, my God, if you look at the stats on his offensive line, it has been a train wreck what Daniel Jones has been protected by. He is getting rushed like no other quarterback in the league. So while I'm not going goo goo gaga over Daniel Jones, I don't know. I think that is a tougher question. I think the Giants could trade down if they end up in that position because they don't want a quarterback battle between a guy who's a year and a half into his career versus Lawrence. I don't think that would be fair to him. So yeah, I think they might trade down.
I can't believe I just heard you say that. They would keep Daniel Jones as opposed to, you know, aren't you in danger then of doing the not drafting Michael Jordan because you had Clyde Drexler?
Listen, I think Lawrence is probably better, But I don't think the Giants are giving up on Jones just yet. I mean, it's way too early to say that, and he has shown sign, and he's been great on his feet as well. Darnold hasn't been the runner that Daniel Jones has been in an RPO type of offense. That he showed you strides that if you put a protection up front, it always starts up front, that he could be a pretty good quarterback in the league. So if he could cut down those fumbles and the turnovers, that's the key. But I think Daniel Jones has shown more signs early on at times than Sam Darnold has 3 years in.
All right, let's do a little role play. Normally, I only like to role play Jake in different company, but let's role play you and I here today. I will be Trevor Lawrence, and I'm going to ask you a question about New York. Okay, Jake, I appreciate your time today. I've always had the impression of the Northeast as five adjectives: cold, gray, dirty, crowded, and rude. And I don't think I want to live up there. Why don't I get to choose where I live, and why am I wrong?
Because New York's the greatest city in the world. There's, you know, non-pandemic times, there's nowhere else where you can go to a Broadway show one night, then go to a comedy show right after, then you can hit the club right after that. I mean, for a young guy like Trevor Lawrence, he's going to love it here. And you could say, yeah, it's cold sometimes. Yeah, you know, it might be a little dirty, but there is always something to do. And you can't say that for Clemson, South Carolina. I'm sorry. You can't say you can do the things there that you can do in New York. There's not even a professional sports team there in South Carolina. So I think it's a much different world up here. And if you like action and you like eventful and things to do, there's no place better. So all the things you're saying aren't wrong. And by the way, we also have the best food in the country. So New York pizza is better than Chicago pizza. It's the best pizza in the world. I mean, I'm in Astoria, Queens, which is the capital of just incredible food. So if you want to eat good, if you want to party good, if you want to live an exciting lifestyle, this is the place to be.
All right. A slice that I have to try the next time I'm up there.
Amore Pizza. It's in College Point. It's the exit after Citi Field where the Mets play. It's my favorite pizza. I've been going there. You know, I came out the womb, and I think I ate a slice of cheese pizza from Amore's over baby food. So
A-M-O-R-E?
Correct. Amore. Yep. A-M-O-R-E apostrophe S. Amore's. Yeah.
What makes it the best?
Thin slice, just iconic cheese, just a big slice, affordable. I think it's like $2.50, maybe $3. I don't know.
Wow.
They can charge whatever, and I'm buying it. It is hot. It's beautiful. Give it some time. I know they did a pizza review on it, and they ate it too hot, and that affects the rating. Give it a couple of minutes to cool down, but fresh out the oven. If you get a fresh pie, Amore's is the best.
He's Jake Brown, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him at Jake Brown Radio on Twitter, and he is the executive producer of the New York Post's podcasts, proudly from Queens. Jake, appreciate it, pal. Thank you so much for the time. Always appreciate it, and enjoy the debate with you, my man.
All right, Mark. Thanks for having me, man. Take care.
You got it. Take care. Jake Brown from the Big Apple, New York City, on the Jets and Trevor Lawrence.